The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit to a desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil had finished every temptation, and he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This first Sunday of Lent, also called the Sunday of Temptations. And we need that powerful word of Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan," right? We all know this powerful word of Jesus to banish the enemy. And you know how to use it correctly to protect yourself from evil? Well, I saw a cartoon on this notion recently. A woman had bought a new dress, which was very expensive, and her husband asked why she had been so extravagant. And she replied, "The devil told me to do it." Well, the husband asked, "Why didn't you say, get thee behind me, Satan?" "I did," explained the wife, "but he said it looked good from the back too, so I bought it." Oh no. We've got to return to the gospel to see the real way to battle against Satan. You know, he's the tempter, and he comes with the temptation to turn stone into bread, to worship Satan, and to leap from the pinnacle of the temple. And that demonstrates three aspects of our life: the material, the civil, and the spiritual. Likewise, they correspond to three levels of human blessings: material goods, political influence, and spiritual powers or spiritual gifts. But they also point to three human seductions. "If you worship me, I will make you rich." "If you will worship me, I will give you political power. And if you worship me, I will endow you with magical power." Well, Jesus dismisses the temptations by references to the book of Deuteronomy, to Scripture. "One does not live by bread alone. Worship the Lord your God, and do not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus uses the two powerful weapons against the tempter, Holy Spirit and Holy Scripture. Because Jesus really embodies the entire people, the whole history of Israel, where they had failed when they were tempted, Jesus overcomes. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit helped him to survive these temptations. Jesus used a holy quote from Scripture in all three responses, showing that he wasn't making any of this up, that he was getting it straight from the Father. Well, the first temptation was well-timed. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and nights. He was hungry. Well, since the people of Israel in the Old Testament had been miraculously fed by manna, why not the Son of God? Giving in to temptation to make bread from a stone would therefore be just like Israel's failure to trust God for food in the wilderness, in the desert. Quoting from Deuteronomy, Jesus recalled Israel's longing for the foods they had left behind in the land of slavery, Egypt. Bread, garlic, onions, melons, meat, and their dissatisfaction with the sustenance of manna, quail, water from the rock which God provided. But unlike the grumbling Israelites, Jesus was pleased to be nourished by that food that God provided for him, which was every word that comes from the mouth of the Father and doing his will. The first temptation was not merely aimed at the urge to use miraculous power given him for his messianic mission to satisfy his own physical hunger. It was also a temptation to ignore his real mission as Messiah and to respond to others' physical needs alone, without at the same time showing them that the kingdom of God is more than food and drink. What if he had just healed everyone who was sick but never taught them the way to God? That would have just been a temporary fix, but it wouldn't have given us salvation. And we can ask ourselves the same question. Do we use the powers God has given us, physical, financial, mental, or spiritual, for our own satisfaction and comfort, for enrichment alone, or chiefly to lead ourselves and others to the kingdom of God as instruments to a final goal? We can deny ourselves some of these blessings by fasting, which requires to give more time to God and to feel real hunger and thirst in our bodies, to turn our desire to eat into a desire to pray, to study and to love. You know, giving up things like social media, watching TV, being angry, that is not actually fasting. We sometimes call it fasting as an analogy. That's abstaining from something, it's giving something else. But real fasting has to do with food and drink. To feel hunger and thirst, that's the real fasting. We're only required to do it 2 days, but the spirit of fasting continues all through Lent, so we're invited by the church to do that real fasting throughout Lent. Every one of us is tempted to seek sinful pleasures, easy wealth, and positions of authority, and is drawn to the use of unjust or sinful means to attain good ends. It's like robbing a farmer's credit union to pay a hospital bill. But Jesus serves as a model for conquering temptations through prayer, penance, and the effective use of the Word of God. We say words from Scripture all the time. We hear them. But to turn them into that deep level of prayer, it takes a little consciousness, intention, and a change of our heart. Temptations make us true champions of God by strengthening our hearts and minds. But there's no crown without the cross. We're never tempted beyond the strength God gives us. In his first letter, St. John assures us, "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Hence, during Lent, let us confront our evil tendencies with prayer, especially by participating in Holy Mass, penance such as fasting, and the meditative reading of Scripture and the saints. We can also give up spending money on ourselves and save it for almsgiving, or stay away from casinos and give that money to the refugees of war. This Mass is dedicated to the refugees of war in the Ukraine, and there is a basket at the back which is clearly marked for the Ukraine. And so what a worthy thing that would be to help out the refugees. 80 to 90% fleeing into Poland are women and children. So we don't have to wonder, where is our money going? We know where it's going today in a concrete way. Well, finally, just to think about it in another way, once there was a mother camel and her baby camel. Yes, the animal, a camel. And they were talking, and the baby camel said, "Mom, why have we got these huge three-toed feet?" The mother camel replied, "To enable us to trek across the soft sand of the desert without sinking." "And why have we got these long, heavy eyelashes?" To keep the sand out of our eyes on the trips through the desert, replied the mother camel. When mom, why have we got these big humps on our backs? The mother, now a little impatient with the boy, said, they're there to help us store fat and water for our long treks across the desert, so we can go without water for long periods. Okay, I get it, said the baby camel. We have huge feet to stop us from sinking, long eyelashes to keep the sand from our eyes, and humps to store water. Then, Mom, why on earth are we here in Canada, freezing in the Toronto Zoo? Modern life sometimes makes us feel like a camel freezing in a Canadian zoo. And it's not a good place for a camel to be. We need to go into the desert to discover who we truly are and how we're expected to live our lives as true followers of a crucified and risen God. Lent invites us to enter into this kind of desert experience of prayer and penance. Because, like I said, without the cross, there is no crown. So it's time to escape from the zoo of self-indulgence and spend some time in the desert of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving.